Good evening and welcome to episode 7 of our Drawing Your Path to Success video series for the 2023-2024 Big Game Draw. This is the last video in this series. I'm Darren Vaughn, the Communications Director for the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish. I'm here tonight with Nicole Tatman, our Big Game Program Manager, and she's here to talk about Barbary Sheep, Ibex, Oryx, and Javelina. Obviously, we're coming right up on that deadline. March 22nd, 5 o'clock, is the big game draw deadline, and also the deadline for harvest reports for deer, elk, pronghorn, and turkey. You have to get those in, or your draw applications will be rejected. The harvest report deadline for Barbary, Ibex, Oryx, Javelina, and for trapper license holders is April 7th. For those of you curious about the status of various species here in the state, our hunt forecasts are all available on our magazine site. That's magazine.wildlife.state.nm.us. So check those out as you're filling out those final draw applications. So without further ado, Nicole, what's new in 2023-2024 for Oryx hunters here in New Mexico?
So we have a couple of changes since this is a new rule cycle. We'll have quite a few changes to run through for a variety of species, including oryx. So we have more off-range licenses. Those are increased by about 20%, so more chances for folks to put in for off-range tags. We also increase licenses on-range. So those are usually the once-in-a-lifetime licenses or broken horn licenses. Those were also increased by 10%. We also have a new off-range hunt specifically for folks aged 70 and older. So that's a new change since last season. There's also no longer the Iraq and Afghanistan hunt. Rather, that has now changed to a New Mexico veteran-only hunt. So it's open to all New Mexico veterans now. We also made a change for the youth hunt, and we have designated those youth hunts as once in a youth. So a youth can draw it one time during their youth period, but then once they become an adult, they can draw the once-in-a-lifetime tag.
Some pretty exciting changes.
Yeah, more licenses is exciting.
So what is the history of oryx in New Mexico? How did they get here, and where are they most typically found around here?
So in the 1960s and 70s, the commission was interested in introducing exotic species, into what was then vacant ranges. And so there were some parts of the state where they thought we could have a sustainable population of a variety of exotic species. So they went through the process of trying to identify what species would actually established in New Mexico. And so oryx was one of those that they considered could possibly be established in the state. And so oryx were brought over. The Albuquerque Zoo actually helped us raise some of them. We moved some of those oryx to our Red Rock high fence facility down in the southwestern part of the state. Mm-hmm. Right now we have desert bighorn sheep there, but we sort of propagated oryx there, determined that they actually were going to survive in the New Mexico climate. And so that's where they were started. Their progeny could be released into the wild, but the individuals themselves that were brought over had to stay in that high fence facility. So right now, back in the 70s, we decided to release, in conjunction with White Sands Missile Range, release animals on the missile range. Mm-hmm. And so that still remains their stronghold today. Most of the oryx in New Mexico are found on the missile range itself. And they've since kind of spilled over to the game management units that surround White Sands Missile Range. So for those off-range oryx hunters, I would suggest hunting in the adjacent areas that just border the missile range itself. Mm-hmm.
And how many oryx are there here now? And is that number increasing, is it decreasing, or is it just kind of holding steady right now?
We estimate there are about 4,000 to 6,000 oryx in the state of New Mexico. It has increased slightly in recent years, and as a result, we have some increased licenses both on and off range. So we have a desire, the department has a desire to manage for oryx to be maintained on White Sands Missile Range. We don't really want to see them expand further than where they currently are. We know that there are oryx off range, which is why we have hunts there, but we don't have a desire to have them increase further across the state.
So they're not going to be spread all over the boot heel or anything like that?
Yeah, no. No, that is not the goal. Yeah.
So what are some of the different types of oryx hunts that are available? And also, you mentioned White Sands Missile Range. For people who draw those hunts, what are some of the things that they need to do to make those hunts happen? I know that there's some background check stuff that they need to go through.
Yeah, so I guess we'll go through the two different kinds of hunts are on-range and off-range hunts. Mm-hmm. So the on-range hunts are once-in-a-lifetime hunts, a lot of them are. Mm-hmm. So you can draw them once in your lifetime. We also have New Mexico veteran hunts now, new this year. We have broken horn hunts. So broken horn hunts are for folks. Anybody can apply for those. But if you've already drawn your once-in-a-lifetime, that's the only other one on range that you can put in for. Mm-hmm. And we also have some youth hunts and injured service member hunts. So those are the variety of hunts that are on range. Once folks draw the on-range tag, somebody from White Sands contacts them. You have to go through a background check with you and your hunt party. You're only allowed a certain number of people to go with you on your hunt. It's a really secure area, so they have a lot of security to go through. So when you access the missile range, there's a process of checking in and checking out for your hunt each day. You also, in the process of getting that license and running your background check, doing all of that paperwork, they charge $150 fee per hunter, so that gets all of that paperwork out of the way and helps them do that administrative work that they have to do. Mm-hmm. So for off-range hunts, there is no additional fee. That's only the fee that the department charges for those licenses. Mm-hmm. We have regular hunts, so those are for anybody who can put in for them. There's no broken horn limits for the off-range hunts. We also have youth hunts and now a new hunt for folks who are 70 and older, and mm-hmm. that's in February.
So what's new coming up in this license year for people hunting Barbary sheep?
Yeah, so Barbary sheep, we have 8 rifle hunts now. It was 5 previously. And so we shortened the hunt length a bit. It was 14 days previously, now it's 7 days to accommodate more hunters across the landscape in that time period. So licenses have increased for Barbary sheep also, so folks will have a better chance of drawing those tags that you can draw. All of Unit 34 is now in the over-the-counter area, so there's draw tags for Barbary sheep, and then there's an over-the-counter license that is unlimited for the areas outside of those draw hunts. And so for that area, all of Unit 34 is now included in the over-the-counter area. Previously, we had some desert bighorn sheep ranges closed to the over-the-counter tag, but those are now going to be open. We don't see a lot of Barbary sheep in our desert bighorn ranges, in most of them, I should say. But on the occasion that somebody sees one in desert bighorn country, we would like that animal to be able to be harvested. So we made that allowance this year. But folks that are hunting in desert bighorn ranges should really pay attention to the animal that they're pulling the trigger on, because Barbary sheep and bighorn sheep have some similarities. And there have been people that have accidentally shot a bighorn on a Barbary tag. Mm-hmm. There's also a new bag limit for Barbary sheep for female and immature animal. So that is on McGregor Range only. And licenses on McGregor Range have also increased significantly. A lot of that is a result of the increase in female immature. But the female immature bag limit is 18 inches for Barbary sheep now.
Mm. And you mentioned maybe some of the confusion that happens between Barbary sheep and bighorn sheep. What are some of the more notable differences between those two species that you can actually tell the difference between?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the main difference that I notice is Barbary sheep have long shaggy fur on the front side of on their front legs. Mm-hmm. They look like chaps. People call them chaps, and that's exactly what they look like. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main difference that I can tell on Barbary sheep. Bighorn sheep have a white rump, also Barbary sheep do not. Mm-hmm. And folks that go out where those ranges can cross, I would suggest just looking at photos. You can familiarize yourself pretty well looking at a variety of photos and identifying whether it's a Barbary sheep or a bighorn sheep.
And there's draw hunts and over-the-counter hunts for Barbary. What are some of the differences between those hunts, and also when are some of the best times to go out and hunt Barbary?
Yeah, so the diff The differences in the draw hunts and over-the-counter hunts, Barbary sheep are sort of concentrated in the southeastern part of the state in a handful of game management units.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those units, we are we're providing access with draw licenses. So it's you're generally going to have a higher chance of encountering Barbary sheep. Success rates are higher than compared with the over-the-counter license. The over-the-counter license still has, I would say, very decent success rates, but not quite as high as those draw tags. So over-the-counter is, it's a full year-round season, so anybody, you know, starting at the beginning of the license year can purchase an over-the-counter Barbary license. I would suggest waiting until you know if you've drawn for your draw Barbary before you purchase that. But you can hunt, you know, in the summer, in the fall, in the winter, and be picky if you'd like for a Barbary sheep. So you can hunt the entire state with the exception of those draw areas. For that over-the-counter tag, you cannot hunt those draw areas. They're closed for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not, I guess there's not really a best time to hunt Barbary sheep.
Mm-hmm.
People use it as a lot of the times they use that over-the-counter tag as a opportunity hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people not like going out in the summertime to hunt Barbary just simply because it's hot, but I'd say there's not really a best time to hunt them, so.
Mm. Yeah, I can definitely see the going out, especially in the southern part of the state, in the middle of the summer, not being the most desirable time to be outside.
Yeah. It's not ideal for a human.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm one of those who would definitely prefer to be inside in the AC during that time of year. So how many Barbary sheep are here in New Mexico, and is that population increasing or decreasing, or is it kind of holding steady?
For Barbary sheep, we don't formally survey them with, you know, we don't do a helicopter survey like we do for some other of our big game species. So we monitor their population using hunter harvest reports.
Okay.
Those are really important for us to gauge what a population is doing. And we found that when we know a certain population size, and we track that with hunter harvest report, if hunter harvest success is increasing and satisfaction ratings are increasing, the population is increasing as well. So that's how we keep our finger on the pulse of how the Barbary sheep population is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a number that I can give you on how many are in the state necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but they're likely increasing slightly. So that's
mm-hmm.
why we've increased some licenses for Barbary sheep this
mm-hmm.
coming license year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a promising sign when you're able to raise the number of available licenses.
Yeah.
So moving on to Ibex, what's new for Ibex hunters this year?
Oh man. So we have some changes for Ibex. The population of Ibex has, decreased in recent years, and that is a result of some of our management actions. We wanted to decrease the Ibex population. In addition, we've had these really wide swings of Ibex numbers and licenses through time. Since Ibex were established in the 70s. So we've gone from 4 licenses to like 1,400 licenses. So we're trying to come to more of an even level or not have these really large swings in licenses. And so we've made an effort to sort of try and stabilize the Ibex population. We've backed off this coming license year for female and immature Ibex. And we've also changed the definition of what a female immature Ibex is. It used to be 15-inch horns, and now we've raised that to 20-inch horns. Another challenge we have with the Ibex population is that their sex ratio is about 1-to-1. So
mm-hmm.
for every female, there's a male. We don't really like seeing that in ungulate populations.
Mm-hmm.
We like to see more females than males. And so by increasing that horn limit for the female immature bag limit, we're going to probably harvest some more males in there too. So the Ibex population, we're going to be surveying it in a few weeks, so I'll have more information on that at that point. But other new things for Ibex, we have a once in a youth, so similar to Oryx, there's a once in a youth designation, so you can draw it once as a youth, and then another time you can draw it as an adult, or for the once in a lifetime tag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Importantly, we've changed the definition of a muzzleloader. I'm sure everybody is very familiar
mm-hmm.
with that. And we have some Ibex muzzleloader hunts. And
uh-huh.
so for those Ibex muzzleloader hunts, you'll have to use a muzzleloader with open sights.
Mm. Yeah, definitely a major, major change kind of across the board with that change to the muzzleloader hunts.
Yes.
So as far as the history of Ibex here in New Mexico, When did we bring them in, and where are they typically found now?
Yeah, similar to Oryx, in the 60s and 70s, the department had a desire, the commission at the time had a desire to establish exotic species for hunting opportunity. And so ibex was one of the handful that actually stuck in New Mexico and is successfully has a population today. They are found in the Florida Mountains, so that's south of Deming. When their population is higher, some of those males can disperse to adjacent ranges around the Floridas, but generally they're found on the Florida range, and that's where the department desires to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
We have some concerns with ibex, you know, dispersing to other ranges with desert bighorn sheep, and there's a disease issue that we don't want to make a problem. So
mm-hmm.
we want to maintain ibex on the Florida range, and so licenses are set, and for that reason, to maintain
mm-hmm.
them there.
And what are some of the key differences between the draw and over-the-counter ibex hunts?
Yeah, the draw hunts are for the Florida range, where you're going to find pretty much all of the ibex in
mm-hmm.
the state of New Mexico. Right now, I don't recommend folks buy that over-the-counter ibex tag unless they know of an ibex outside of the Florida range.
Mm-hmm.
That over-the-counter ibex tag is used as a management tool to address those wandering males that might
right.
get into desert bighorn ranges. And so if you don't know of an ibex off of the Florida range, there's no reason to buy that tag, and it would be disappointing for you to do that.
Yeah, unless you're wanting to spend a few days out hiking and
sure
and not seeing any ibex.
Yeah.
And how's that ibex population looking? Is it increasing, decreasing, steady?
It's decreased in the last few years, but that was on purpose, just to maintain the ibex on the Florida range itself, and to try and avoid those really large swings in licenses. So where we offer a lot of licenses and then a few, I'm sure hunters who have paid attention in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years on ibex, there are some large swings in licenses. So we're trying to
mm-hmm.
move away from that. So right now the ibex population is probably steady. We're going to survey it here in a couple weeks, so we'll have more information then. So probably steady at this point, but we have a desire to increase it slightly,
mm-hmm.
although we don't want to remove all of the female immature licenses and let the population really skyrocket, because it can do that.
Mm-hmm. And again, like you were saying, kind of keeping them to the Floridas.
Mm-hmm.
If you did let it explode, they would definitely be off the Floridas before
yeah.
too much longer.
Yeah.
So as far as javelina, any big changes this year?
Yeah, for javelina, we added a population management hunt option. So that's when you're putting in for your draw hunts, that's the fifth choice. So we didn't have that before, so that's going to be new. And I'd always
mm-hmm.
recommend people put in for the fifth choice if they're interested in hunting that species, because you can always, you know, say you don't want to take that hunt and you're not committed to it, but you get called after the fact if there is going to be a population management hunt. We've also expanded some hunt areas to include some of our wildlife management areas for javelina, and that's some of those WMAs are Double E, River Ranch, Red Rock, and so those are open now for hunters who hold a valid license for that game management unit. We also increased the javelina licenses slightly, so in the Bootheel, where most of the javelina are found, we've increased licenses by 10%, and the statewide licenses we've increased by 20%. So more opportunity to go pursue javelina.
Mm-hmm. So as far as a population estimate, how is the javelina population looking, and where are they typically found?
Similar to Barbary sheep, we don't formally survey javelina, but we use
mm-hmm.
Hunter Harvest reports as a metric for how the population is doing. So we've seen an increase in satisfaction ratings, success ratings from Hunter Harvest reports, and also reports of people seeing javelina in places that we haven't expected to see them, maybe further north. So the population is likely increasing, and so as a result, we've increased licenses there. And the stronghold really for javelina is the southern part of the state. That's where they're going to be mostly found, although we've been having reports further north
mm-hmm.
than we have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, the southwestern part of the state, the Bootheel, is really where the highest densities are.
Mm. Yeah, I have heard of the odd javelina by El Dorado,
yeah,
but
yeah. He's a popular one.
Yeah, Yeah, he's popular, but he's also certainly rare.
Yeah, he's rare. Yeah.
So, what are some of the key differences between the draw javelina hunts and the over-the-counter javelina hunts?
The draw hunts for javelina are going to be concentrated in the boot heel, where we have the highest densities of javelina. The over-the-counter hunt has a cap, so it's sort of different from the Barbary sheep over-the-counter, where there is no cap for Barbary sheep. There is a cap for javelina and over-the-counter. And so with that over-the-counter license for javelina, you can hunt the areas outside of the draw areas.
Mm-hmm.
So southeastern New Mexico would be a good option for folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you have any tips for people who may be hunting any of these species for the first time?
My only suggestion would be to do your homework, scout ahead of time if you can. If you can't scout in person, use some online, aerial photos or something like Onyx to look to see where you might access places. In some cases, access might be an issue in the case for Barbary sheep, for example. So planning ahead of time and doing some homework is really going to be key. And I'd say good luck to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for your time. And hopefully that helps some of you who are looking to apply for one of those exotic species or javelina in the upcoming draw. So once again, that March 22nd deadline for your big game draw applications is looming. Also for your deer, elk, pronghorn, and turkey harvest reports. Make sure you get those in or your draw applications will be rejected, and obviously nobody wants to have that happen. The harvest report deadline for Barbary, Ibex, Oryx, Javelina, and Trapper license holders is April 7th. All of the other episodes in this series are available in the Drawing Your Path to Success playlist on our YouTube account. And you want to check any of those out as you're getting ready to apply for the draw, feel free to look us up on YouTube and check that out. So, for Nicole Tatman, our cameraman Ryan Darr, Liam Phillips, who also helped us along the way, I'm Darren Vaughn, the Communications Director for the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish. Thank you for watching the video series this year, and best of luck to you in the big game draw.